Opened your Bible this morning to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to read the first 12 verses. We'll find our text in verse 12. I've entitled the message like this: Things to Know or Things You Ought to Know. More correctly, a person you ought to know this morning. You turn there this morning. I would like to say that I do appreciate the prayers of the church. Most of you are aware that my younger sister passed away this past Wednesday. It was not only my responsibility, but I wanted to do it for her sake, to take care of the services at the cemetery yesterday, and the Lord gave grace. Amen. One of the points of comfort that I have, I go back in my mind to time whenever Reese and I were very young, we were working at church over in Fort Worth, Texas, and my little sister was there on a Sunday morning. She came forward in that service trusting Jesus Christ. Knew the Lord. And not saying that she was all that she ought to be, because none of us are when it comes down to life. But it's a comforting point today to know that that loved one, even that stranger, when we find it out, they knew the Lord. Paul said he knew the Lord. I want to just share some thoughts with you this morning. And we'll again find our text in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Just before we read this passage, let's take a moment and pray. Father, it's my privilege to stand in this place this morning to present Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, to expound the Word of God, and I pray you'll bless in every heart, meet the need in every life, glorify Him who loved us enough to die in our place. And Lord, I trust that every person that's here today will be able, as Paul did, say this: I know whom I have believed. And I trust you'll glorify our Savior again, for I pray and ask in His precious name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, that saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now it's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Certainly, in this text, it becomes very evident, as Paul has written again this second time to this young preacher, Timothy. He calls him his son, and he is a son in the ministry, saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul had left him, Timothy, in Ephesus to minister the Word of God there, and he points out that there's a measure of affliction that goes with the preaching of the gospel, but he said to Timothy, just don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of me, because I represent him and I know whom I have believed. Paul was writing to encourage this young preacher, and in writing to encourage this young preacher, he reveals this personal relationship that he knows is in his life as he is in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, God's Son. He knows Christ today. So I want to just approach this subject today and look into it for a moment. In our text, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. But in relation to that, I think it's important to know what we believe. You see, it's going to affect our attitude toward Christ and whether we really want to know him or not. As we walk through life, we understand that there are certain people that are more desirable to be around than others. I mean, it's just a natural thing that there are some folks that are more personable, and there's things about them that will attract us to them. And we know them in the sense that we know something about them. And it's important to know what you believe today. First of all, I think it's important to know about God. Amen. What you believe about God. It seems to be that atheism, agnosticism is becoming more prevalent in our society. The reason being, of course, that we don't have the Word of God preached. That's right. The truth about God taught today. Can I just say this and sound mean and go on? But in the early days and years of our nation, it didn't hurt those folks to be taught the Word of God in schools.
That's right.
The truth of the matter is, if you'll research it just a little bit, don't have to look very far, you'll find out that the first schools in this nation were started in churches. And the major textbook was the Bible. And it didn't hurt folks. It helped folks a great deal. But we do need to know something about what we believe, and in particular, what we believe about God. The writer of Hebrews would say to us that we must believe that He is, just to know that God exists today. I don't want to take the time to try to give you the proofs, but there's just a great host of evidence today that declares that God is. I wonder sometimes if we could get the scientific world to put the energy into research with the thought behind their research that God is, what they might really accomplish, be able to do for mankind today. But I believe that we need to know what we believe, in particular about God. And certainly we have to believe that He is, else we'd act like an animal and be like an animal. But I like to think in terms of God as well as just not only being, but that He's the Creator. All to see the handiwork of God. To enjoy the handiwork of God. To see the wisdom in the creation as God intended it to function, and it does today. You realize that God made man unique, distinct. Your hands may be arthritic now, but God designed the hand with an opposing thumb so that we could do a great host of things today that would not be possible without that opposing thumb on your hand. You may not realize this, but your balance is in your big toe. It's on your foot. God put things within us and upon us for our benefit. He created man in wisdom today. Amen. And I want you to know that we need to believe that He is Creator. And then, of course, we certainly have to believe, if we believe in Him at all, that He's powerful. Second thing I want us to think about, it's important to know what we believe. It's what we believe about Christ. Now these are just the peripheral of what Paul has said as we think about this message this morning, but I just want to mention it again today in our services, that Jesus Christ is the eternal Word made flesh. The Apostle Paul talked about it being a great mystery, how that God became man and was manifest in the flesh. He is the eternal Son, in harmony with the other two persons of the Godhead today. And certainly, I rejoice that this one condescended to become a man and walk among men as a man. It's important to know what we believe about God, about Christ. I believe we need to know something about man, what we believe about man. It'll govern the decisions of our lives. We are a creature, therefore subject to the Creator. I don't know all the rationale behind a lot of the research, but I think that probably there is the underlying fact that a lot of the desire to explore space is to ultimately prove that God is not out there and in existence so that we'd not have to be accountable to Him. But I believe that we need to know that we're a creation of God. It certainly helps us to understand ourselves if we understand that we are a three-part being. It's very difficult on a fleshly level to accommodate the needs of man in a spiritual sense. Man is body, soul, and spirit. The spiritual part of man took a fall when Adam transgressed in the garden. It's borne severe consequence on the human race today. And that's why our Lord ultimately said to a man that had progressed far in religion, would have been considered somewhat balanced in his thinking and capable, a man named Nicodemus. But the Lord said to him in the finality of his conversation with him, you must be born again. Why? Because that spiritual part of man has to be renewed before he can live in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So we need to know something about man. I believe it makes a difference what we believe about sin. If you believe it's not very bad, you'll not be very saved. You'll never see the need of Jesus Christ in his sacrificial work of the cross. I believe we need to know something about judgment. If I had time, I'd develop the character Belshazzar. He, grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember the story of the judgment when it fell, the handwriting on the wall? Many, many tickle you, Farson, your weight in the balances. You're found wanting. Judgment was to come that night. It's not any wonder that Daniel said to him, just keep your own gifts. They were going to make him third ruler in the kingdom. It meant nothing because that night, judgment would fall. I believe we need to know something about punishment. We've tried to remove punishment from our society. I think that crime has to be punished according to the Word of God. And I know that God punishes the sinner that lives and dies in rebellion against God. I believe it makes a difference what we believe about salvation this morning. Whether we believe it's of works or whether it's of grace. In our text, the Apostle Paul said it's really not of any effort or works of our own, as he wrote to this young preacher. But I trust you see that it's important to know about some things. But it is imperative, it is a must to know Christ.
That's right.
To know Christ. In just the casual observance of the statement, it might not be apparent that there is a difference. In fact, many have confused the issue today and think as long as they believe the facts about Christ, everything's all right. But Paul said, I know whom I have believed. To know Christ is to know the fulfillment of God's plan. And I would be the first to have to acknowledge that I do not know all that is involved in the eternal counsels of God, but I do know this from a scriptural standpoint that God had a plan for fallen man. It involved His Son, Jesus Christ, who one day would stand in the place of guilty sinners. More correctly, He'd hang in the place of guilty sinners. That salvation was going to be wrapped up in a person. And that person, we know to be Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I think of Jesus Christ and knowing Him, I know the one who could fulfill God's plan, God's desire for man today. I often quote him, but I do want to quote him again this morning, Isaiah. as though he were speaking from the very heart of God, said, "When I see the travail of his soul, I'll be satisfied." Fulfillment in Jesus Christ. We're told in New Testament language that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And there's only one mediator. There's not many. Thomas, I believe, finally got the picture. I'd criticize Thomas, except I see so much of myself in him. You would surely have thought after John 13:14, the discussions that they had prior, that whenever the Lord spoke of going away, that Thomas would have understood the necessity of it. And the Lord wasn't talking about just walking away from responsibility, but he's talking about the fact that he was going to have to go through the experience of death, that men, women, boys, and girls might live. So he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Old Thomas said, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." To know Jesus Christ is to know the one way to God. And I might just add, the only way to know God. You cannot know him in any other fashion. I've run across folks in my life, in my ministry, that would say, "Well, I believe in God, I know God, but I don't want anything to do with Christ." As though that was an option open to them. But you cannot know God without knowing Jesus Christ. He's the only way to know God. What did Jesus say? I don't have time to explore all of the conversations that went on between our Lord and the disciples and others that he would encounter in life. But I do want to mention three. First of all, our Lord Jesus Christ did say that he was rest for the heavy laden. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your soul." Paul said, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." There's rest for that weary pilgrim. Paul labored much in his life. He makes reference to it in the text that we've read, that from his forefathers he had made effort to serve God. Thing was, he was just ignorant in some areas of his life. And what he did, he was not trying to rebel against God, even though he was. He just didn't perceive that Jesus Christ was the source of rest for his weary soul. Until one day on the road to Damascus, and I believe it was brought about by a haunting scene that he could not remove from his mind. We'll study it in our Sunday school next week, the Lord willing. As we look at the message that Stephen preached, the Bible spoke then of that experience in Stephen's life down to the point that they led him outside the city of Jerusalem. They picked up the stones and they stoned Stephen to death. And the Bible speaks of it as Stephen calling on God. I am persuaded that that young man named Saul of Tarsus, could not remove that face from his mind through life. And on the road to Damascus one day, that light above the brightness of the noonday sun shined round about him. He fell to the ground, cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the answer is, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And there he found rest for his heavy laden soul. There is peace for the troubled. I mentioned these disciples that were present in the last conversation of our Lord with his disciples here on earth before he'd go to the cross. And he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled." You may be here this morning and deep down in the depths of your very being, you're troubled. You pillow your head at night and wonder if you'll wake in the morning. And you pillow your head in fear. You awake in the morning and you're afraid of the day. Troubled. To those disciples, the Lord said, "I'm going to do something for you. It's imperative I go away." He said, "If I go away, though, I will come again. So don't be troubled. What you're seeing is necessary for the moment. It's the fulfillment of the plan, but you'll see me again. They'll put me in the grave and they'll think it's over. But on the third day, I will arise again." There's rest or peace to the troubled. I could not leave this subject or end this message without interjecting this final thought. What did Jesus say? Life for the dead. Life for the dead. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the folks at Ephesus, reminded them and said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." He's saying, you folks that were bearing the severe consequence of sin, which is death, Jesus Christ made you alive. Not only did he make you alive, but in God's economy, he broke down a middle wall of partition that had been there for centuries between Jew and Gentile. Said he took from over here and he took from over here and he made both one. Whether Jew or Gentile today, all are saved through Jesus Christ if they're saved at all. Life for the dead. Now, more than likely, if you could not say with the full confidence as Paul does this morning, "I know whom I have believed," you feel heavy laden. You are troubled. And you are dead in trespasses and in sin. But if you fit into one of these categories, you realize that there is this point of need in your life. "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." There is life for those who are dead today. life in Jesus Christ. Paul said to Timothy, I can bear all that comes my way, knowing this, that I know Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Let's stand together. Musicians, come, prepare the invitation number. Heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment. Father, I want to thank You for Your precious word today. Thank You for the truth that we have here before us this good day. Thank You for Jesus Christ, the preciousness of this person whom to know is life eternal. And Father, as we come to You, we ask for Your blessing upon the invitation. Lord, You know the hearts. You know the needs. We'd be very foolish to try to do Your work. So we ask the precious Holy Spirit of God, move in hearts and lives, and we'll trust Your precious will to be done. And we'll thank You for it. We ask in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.